T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you, welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. How are we looking on a good Tuesday? Halloween. I'm excited. There's just a different buzz in the air today. Everybody all dressed up around the... Look, coming into work dressed up, I guess if you're in sales and you're going to go out and do some sales calls and stuff, that's a fun thing to do. Doing what we do. You know, like all the FMs, they dress up and get crazy. That's fine. I guess if you're doing some videos and social media and stuff. Doing what we do, that's kind of boring, you know? I should have got the Cousin Subs big subby outfit or something, come in here today and just sub myself. That would have been the way to go. Beyond that, I'm not dressing up to go to work. I'm not into that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Hey, I was talking about next Monday. It is a crazy day, but the Packers are going to be playing on Monday night. Our show will emanate live from Hagemeister Park in Green Bay. So come on out and say hi, because we're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. doing the show live. Hagemeister Park coming up next Monday. So make sure you come on by and say hello and enjoy the program. Be a face in the crowd there in Green Bay. It's our first ever, short of doing the postgame show, for our affiliate, our great affiliate WNFL up there, which has the best call letters in all of the world. And we're going to be doing the show from Hagemeister Park, a tradition of spirits and fun. Nice. Hagemeister Park coming up on Monday. A guy that is probably imbibed all over Wisconsin, and namely in Green Bay, is Aaron Nagler, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, imbiber. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you? I don't know what you're talking about. Imbibing. I don't even know what that means. I'm shocked at the accent.
You're still living in the world of prohibition, my friend. I think that's what it is.
Something like that.
A lot of activity, if you want to call it that. When I said a flurry earlier today, and I meant it for the NFL, that's a flurry of activity. Considering there usually is no trades around the trade deadline. We had a flurry of activity yesterday. The question then becomes, should the Green Bay Packers be doing anything? And I think as long as number 12 is not on the field, what are you going to do? Let's be honest. I mean, do you look for the Green Bay Packers, or do you think the Green Bay Packers were going to do anything at all?
No, I don't. And, you know, I think if there was anything to do now that Rodgers is most likely done for the year, maybe perhaps they look at moving a guy here or there to try and get some assets in the draft. But even that, I don't expect Thompson to be proactive in that regard. We know how Ted Thompson operates at this point. What is it, 13 years into his tenure? He will let the trade deadline come and go. And if he were able to be asked, of course, we won't hear from the man until the combine in Indianapolis in the spring. But if we were to talk to him today, magically, I'm sure he would say, oh, we like our guys. That's always been his response. It's always going to be his response. He likes the guys he has on board, and it's very rare that he looks outside the building to find new ones.
So I had a great conversation last night with Trevor Davis on our Horse and Plow huddle, and I walked away from that wanting to see more. I wanted to see I'm anticipating more out of Brett Hundley. From what he told us and kind of – now, again, that's his guy, but – He just said, look, technically he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's got a lot of attributes that can be assessed to Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he's watched a lot of – he talked about how intently Brett Hundley follows Aaron Rodgers around. It's almost like this dog wanting to follow the lead dog and learn everything the lead dog knows. he said, look, you just got to give him a chance. And I agree. I agree in the sense of, if you're going to let this guy's in the system for 3 years, he's our guy. Well, then, damn it, just let him sink or swim, and I'd rather see him do it on his own terms. And I think that's where I'm at right now with watching Brett Hundley and anticipating Brett Hundley. How about you?
Yeah, I understand that mentality, especially the idea that, you know, if McCarthy hadn't been so adamant the week leading up to the Saints game about that very thing you're talking about, that we've got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley. But that's fine. That's great. But then to come out with a game plan that essentially hides that quarterback that you have 3 years invested in, that tells me you don't trust the guy. That tells me that despite having 3 years invested in the kid, despite the idea that he's got to come lead your football team and lead your offense, you want to hide him. You want to ask him to do as little as possible. And I understand he's making his first start. I understand the offensive line was banged up. I get all that. But I then looked at the Dolphins game against the Ravens the other night when Matt Moore comes in and is throwing a pick six nearly every other throw. And I think, you know, this is probably what McCarthy is trying to guard against. This idea of, okay, we're going to open it up, we're going to run the same offense, and then you have a backup quarterback just making errant throw after errant throw to guys he hasn't, you know, obviously played with a whole heck of a lot. I think McCarthy's idea of buttoning it up, running the football, playing some defense, although that got away from them in the second half, no doubt, that despite all that, they were in the game right until, like, you know, middle of the fourth quarter. They were still in the game. They still had a chance to win it. Now, obviously, I would put that loss on McCarthy. His coaching there in the fourth quarter, he coached scared. He coached not to lose, and it bit him. And I think that's why he was upset after that game. But I think going forward, I don't think you're going to see much of a difference. You maybe see a few more rollouts, a few more, you know, read option type plays, maybe a few more kind of run pass options, check with me at the lines type of sprinkling of that. But I don't think you're ever going to see McCarthy just open it up, so to speak, because of what I was just talking about. They can play, you know, defense. They can run the football, stick with the game plan, try and get into the fourth quarter and win the game. I think that's their best bet for success with Hundley under center.
You had just mentioned what I'd been preaching for a while now, and that is the defense. Look, as much as we want to talk about the offense and Brett Hundley, this defense needed to be top 15 at minimum for them to be successful with Aaron Rodgers. I think they need to be top 10 minimum now. I don't think they have the personnel within them to do it. Do you?
If they can get any kind of stretch of help in the secondary, I think they can, actually. I think it's just a question of, look, it's pretty clear that Dom Capers, for whatever reason, just refuses to simplify his scheme. They are always completely kind of running guys in and out matchup to kind of try to take advantage of matchups to match up with what the offense is doing. Now, part of the, you know, recency bias is obviously very real. The Saints are an offense that are always running guys in and out. They use tons of different personnel combinations. So they kind of got caught there. But this is not a new thing. This happened against the Cowboys. It happened against the Vikings where, you know, McCarthy is having to burn timeouts. I mean, they've allowed a 25-yard run to the Cowboys and a touchdown run to the Saints because they played defense with 10 men on the field. And I understand, you know, substitutions are a part of the game and that happens around the NFL. But I have yet to see a defense in another NFL city that has played multiple snaps with 10 men on the field. That is just something that is completely inexcusable, and that starts with Dom Capers.
Right.
That starts with his scheme. He's got to get that cleaned up. And McCarthy's going to go to bat for him. He's going to deflect. He's going to defend him. And I get that. That's his job. But ultimately, that's on Capers. And he has got to get that fixed.
Do you think – because I said when Aaron Rodgers went down, legacies are now affected. Because Mike McCarthy, the, quote, quarterback school that he puts these guys through, he's had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Who beyond that has really developed? Graham Harrell? No. Brian Brohm? No. Seneca Wallace? Vince Young? You can go through that litany of guys – nobody's really stood out to say, okay, I'm that solid Doug Peterson behind Brett Favre type of guy. I mean, you haven't had that. So I think this is part of his legacy here. And then in addition to that, I also think to myself, Dom Capers has to be able to make something out of this defense. You can't get your guys back short of Rollins and say, we can't be in the top 15 with the personnel that we have, including Montrevious Adams and Vince Beagle and everybody starting to get healthy. If this doesn't happen and the secondary doesn't get any better and you still see confusion, so Mike McCarthy painted himself into a corner along with his coaching staff when he said, sometimes a different voice is needed, when he started letting assistant coaches go a couple of years ago. And I said, that is a very heavy statement when you start to look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's funny you say that, because it's kind of what I was intimating on my podcast a couple weeks ago after Aaron got hurt. Look, this is an opportunity. And I know McCarthy probably relishes it, even though he'll never say that publicly. Because obviously, you know, you're not blind. You're in a fishbowl there in Green Bay. He knows. He knows what people are saying. He knows that Aaron Rodgers makes you. You haven't done anything. You're riding in Rodgers' coattail, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is a very different scenario than 2013, the last time they had to deal without Rodgers, you know. I mean, that was a case where they were playing quarterbacks who hadn't been in the system for a month. But now, as you say, you've got a guy that you've been grooming for 3 years. We better see some development, or, yeah, you're going to come under question. Now, as far as who else has he developed, I would kind of put the caveat out there. You got to look past just his time in Green Bay. The man had a top-10 offense with Aaron Brooks at quarterback. The man helped in Matt Hasselbeck's development. I mean, there are other quarterbacks that he has worked with. But in Green Bay, I would agree, you know, for the most part, that cupboard is pretty bare outside of the two Hall of Famers.
So now we look towards, obviously, Brett Hundley, but then there's the addition of a run game. And Aaron Jones, who has become, I'm not even ready to say he's just the real deal. To me, he's just a guy that looks like a running back. Now, how much better he's going to be, especially behind an offensive line that seemingly is going to be back and as healthy as they can possibly be, so for this time of year. So how much more do you rely upon Aaron Jones in this package, as opposed to just saying, Brett Hundley, go win us games?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. You have to run the offense through Aaron Jones. I just don't see how you can go any other way. As you say, I don't think he's, you know, I'm not ready to say he's a great NFL running back, but he is certainly, by far and away, the best running back on their roster. And, you know, that's no slight to Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, or whoever else. But he's been the most productive. He's shown the best vision. He's obviously produced the best when given the chances. And I just don't think you can turn back at this point and kind of go, well, you know, we want to split time between him and Montgomery. No. You've got to run this thing through Aaron Jones. And I know that's going to be odd for a lot of Packer fans to watch probably over the second half of the year, because, I mean, let's face it, the Packers haven't run an offense through a running back in a long, long time. But, you know, and that doesn't just have to be line up in I form and smash it between the tackles. There's a lot of different, whether it's the zone stretch game, whether it's the screen game, whether it's splitting him out and sending him downfield. Jones is one of your best offensive weapons, and they have to get the ball in his hands.
Talking with Aaron Nagler of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Before I let you go, obviously Martellus Bennett puts out over the weekend that he is contemplating retirement at the end of the season. I kind of joked and said, look, some of his catches are the miscatches that he has not made. Some would say he's almost kind of mentally checked out as it is. What do you see in Martellus Bennett that makes you say you would either, one, want him back, or two, okay, we'll talk to you later?
You know, look, he's still a, you know, primary driver in the run game as far as sealing the edge. He's done it better just in the last, you know, four or five games than any tight end's done it in the last 10 years in Green Bay. Now, obviously, you didn't sign him to millions and millions of dollars in a, you know, a three-year contract to block on the edge in the run game. You want him down the field. You want him catching the football. He has had a major issue with drops, but you've also seen kind of, you know, glimpses of the playmaker he can be, whether it's, you know, going deep in Dallas, whether it's taking, you know, the final catch against the Seahawks to seal the game on the bootleg. I mean, there have been tantalizing moments, but I would agree. You know, I don't think there's any doubt. The fact that drops have never been an issue in his career, and now suddenly he comes to Green Bay, and it has been a major issue. It's been a major theme all season long. That kind of tells you, especially if you read my colleague Ryan Wood's piece on Bennett from over the weekend, you know, he was talking about this in camp. He was saying, you know, I could retire at any time at this point. He's done what he needed to do in the NFL. He's played for a number of different teams, made a bunch of money, won a Super Bowl in New England. There's not much left for him to do. And as anybody who follows him on social media knows, the guy is definitely ready for his career past the NFL. So I don't think it comes as any surprise to hear him talk.
I guess the question becomes, if you thought that he was only going to be a one-hit wonder, and why would you let Jared Cook walk? You know what I mean? Because we're sitting, hindsight being what it is, I understand. But Jared Cook, you're watching what he's doing over in Oakland, even though they're not winning games right now, and he has been an asset to that offense, as opposed to Martellus Bennett, who, as you said, has not normally had drops in his career, but this year he's not the burner downfield that everybody thought he was going to be. He is a good blocker. He's not as athletic as Jared Cook, and Jared Cook has more longevity. Why would you let Jared Cook walk? Is that a misstep on Ted Thompson's part?
I think it's, I mean, like you said, it's easy in hindsight. I think the idea being, obviously, he's a little bit more athletic, but he's got, I mean, that's a guy who's had drops, problems with drops.
Absolutely.
All year.
I agree.
All career.
Yeah.
All his entire career. Now, you know, should they have kind of ponied up? I mean, that's the thing. That's the drawing the line in the sand where they've gone, whether it's letting Bennett, you know, I'm sorry, letting Cook go, whether it's letting TJ Lang go. You know, there are certain positions where they're going to draw a line in the sand. And because of the fact that they have this monster deal coming up that they have got to sign Aaron Rodgers to, there are going to be times when, look, we'd love to pay $2 million more. We'd love to pay $3 million more. But if we keep doing that, if we dole that money out to all these different positions, well, then we're going to be really up against it when it comes time to give our quarterback $100 million, which is coming down the line, probably next offseason. So, yes, it's frustrating. I get the hindsight part of it, but – you know, drawing a line there at the tight end position and then going and get a guy who's a premier player at the position in free agency, it's hard to fault Thompson for that.
Good stuff as always, Aaron. And, man, we could go on, but I'm glad you joined us for a couple of minutes, and we'll talk later down the road, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Aaron Nagler of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Something that I find interesting but unforgivable if it happens. I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Glad to have you. We're having a good time today, are you? On this Halloween, weather about 40 degrees, depending on where you're at, a little bit of wind. Kids are going to be bundled up if you're trick-or-treating tonight. Always hated that. You'd put all this time and money into a costume, and then you'd have to wear your giant coat over it. Hated that as a kid. One year, my mom made me this big refrigerator type of box, this big robot thing. Had aluminum foil. My dad took a spray can and put glue all over it, and we put aluminum foil all over it. It was really cool looking, man. And then it was raining and nasty and cold, and I had to wear this great big old yellow, like the Gorton Fisherman's rain coat. It was awful. Then the thing just turned to mush by the end of the night. So I always hated that. You go spend all that time and money and effort and getting a really cool costume, and then the weather doesn't cooperate. Tonight, it doesn't look like any rain, but it's going to be a little bit breezy and kind of cool tonight. So the princesses will be out there bundled up with a heavy coat on, I would assume. Here's a question for you, and we'll get into this in just a minute. I want to get your opinion, but there is a push on by the NFL and by those across the pond. They want to see some Packers football up close and personal. And they would like to see the Green Bay Packers as soon as possible, meaning next year. Now, I have said this for a long time. If you pull a home game away from a Green Bay Packers group, you're going to have mutiny on your hands. You don't even have to worry about the commissioner being booed at Lambeau Field. People will drive to New York to literally throw him out on his ass in the middle of Madison Avenue. So, I mean, that'll happen. But for Packers fans that like to travel, do you really want to see a game in London? I mean, there's probably a few people out there that are Packers fans, hardcore Packers fans, here's UK Packers fans, that want to see a game in London. And I look, Packers fans are everywhere. We know that. We've seen it. When I would travel at times, I mean, I'll never forget the year that we were doing the playoffs out in Arizona. We went to the Fox Sports Cafe, and we were going to do a pep rally. And it was myself and Jerry Kramer and Don Majkowski, and all these former Packers were coming back, and they were out there to cheer on the Packers. And the Fox Sports Cafe, as I'm sitting there, said, you know, okay, how many people are going to be here? Because they had capacity for 400. I said, that's it? And she said, well, we've never had more than that here, you know, not even for one of the biggest games around, you know. I said, I'm telling you, you're going to get 1,000 people. By the end of the day, they had counted around the building, and they estimated 3,000 people showed up. I mean, there was a guy that drove from Las Vegas in a Green Bay Packer semi to come down and see the show and be a part of this. And by the time we were done and the limousines were taking everybody away, there were still people waiting to get in. I mean, that's how crowded it was. So Packers fans are everywhere. But do you really want to see them take a Packers game to London? 855-830-8648.
I'm not a big fan of the venues next year for road games for the Packers. Really, they got screwed when it comes to warm weather games because they're not going to Miami next year. They're not going to Arizona. They're not going to San Francisco. L.A. is really the only warm weather destination. Or if, depending on how things shift in the division at the end of the season, they might be able to go down to Dallas as well. But beyond that, L.A., people are talking about L.A. and the Packers going to London. If I'm the Rams, I'm fighting to keep the Packers in L.A. for that game. Because, look, people don't show up to those games for the Rams. I mean, it's a pretty pathetic fan base in Los Angeles. There will be a lot of Packer fans that are going to want to go out to L.A. to see that game. I mean, they can fill and get seats. Because, look, these London games are selling out. There's a lot of people in Europe that do pay attention to the NFL. They do appreciate the NFL. But if I'm the Rams, I want to do everything possible to make sure that the Packers are coming to L.A. Because really, then the Packers, they're not going to get any other nice, you know, warm weather games. They're playing, who are they playing this year? They've got the NFC West, but again, it's going to be L.A. and Seattle on the road. San Francisco and Arizona will come there. Miami is going to come to Green Bay. And then you play the NFC South, you'll play one of those opponents, but they're going to be coming to Green Bay as well. So really, the destinations this year or next year are not that sexy if you want to travel. Now, if you want to try to get to New England, good luck with that, because that's going to be a sellout. I don't know how Packer fans are going to get tickets for that game unless they play, you know, pay ridiculous amounts of money. But I hate the venues next year because I want to go and cover another game somewhere, selfishly.
Not a fan of going to London, though.
Well, I mean, who's going to pay the money?
Well, it's not even that. It's just I don't want to see that team travel like that. I just don't. I mean, first of all, I don't want to watch a game at 9 a.m. And second, no, don't get me wrong, get up for a game and watching a game at 9 a.m. And that may be something that I would just want to do, just to say I'm going to go to London just to, you know, I've never been. So maybe I would just say, what the hell, I'm going to bite the bullet and go. But never been a fan of doing a game at that particular point in time, and don't get me wrong, the post-game show, we'd be pretty much done by 3 o'clock and home and in bed by 5, but that being said, I'm not a fan of a team traveling to London. I'm just not. I never have been. It doesn't thrill me. It doesn't excite me. It's a cash grab more than anything, and I'm not a big fan of that. 855-830-8648. By the way, this portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, a 98% success rate, by the way, all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders, Green Bay, Milwaukee, down in Chicago as well. Check out the Neumel Medical Center. Low T treatments, they work. I was just telling a friend of mine the other night, I said, man, I got this Garmin watch that monitors my sleep. And since I've been doing this on a regular basis, man, it's been fantastic because I'm getting 7, 8, 9 hours at times of deep sleep at night. It really, you feel more refreshed and rested during the day, and better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. And then when the workouts begin, they have the all-in-one weight loss program over there as well. It really is truly worth a phone call. 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Going to talk some basketball when we come back as well, as we start to take a look around the state of Wisconsin. Pat Baldwin, UW-Milwaukee men's basketball coach, he's going to join us, talk a little bit about the Horizon League. We're going to get into that discussion, give you the stats of the day. You're going to hear Mike McCarthy coming up later on in the program today, and also Marcus Johnson, the Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin. He's going to join us as we get set for the Bucks and the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up tonight down at the BC. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right around the corner.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show's on the air. Reminding you, as the food, the hunger, the thought begins to creep into your head that you might be salivating a little bit, I'm here to make you drool a little bit more because we are brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better and really want you to get better. Seriously. In the sense of that pepperoni melt, that thing can be life-changing. Had a couple people tweeting that out yesterday, the pictures. Not to mention, they have the brisket right now, and the fact that Cousin Subs, in addition to that, want you to tailgate with their food, and then they can put you on the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field. Simple. Go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. And you could win the best seats in the house contest. Compliments of Cousin Sub sitting on the 50-yard line. Plush leather recliners. There you go. Good stuff right there. That is at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. You deserve better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Bring him in now, the head coach, Pat Baldwin of UW-Milwaukee and the Panthers basketball program. Coach, how you been?
I'm great. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing well. So I my first question to you is, where is it right now? So now that you've had a chance to wrap your arms around this thing, get some guys in, you know, kind of get your whole program put together, where are you right now? How confident are you feeling?
You know, I feel pretty good about my understanding of our team at this stage. And obviously we want to see some more, you know, have a little bit more test of games and to see exactly where we're at. But I feel pretty good knowing maybe who we can go to in certain situations, you know, who can take the ball out, you know,
mm-hmm, right.
You know, little things like that that are really important in games.
You are a young team. You got two seniors, a junior, and beyond that, it's all sophomores and freshmen and such, and you got a couple other Vance Johnson and Baylor Peterson juniors as well. But you're a pretty young team when you talk about overall experience and overall kind of coming off the bench, so to speak. So with a team like that, knowing that you're growing a team, is there a learning curve? Is there a process to that? Or once they're in, they're in?
You know, there is that learning curve. And, you know, what we do every single day is we work on different situations on the floor because, as you mentioned, you know, with the relative youth of our team, you know, you haven't and our guys haven't seen a lot of different situations out there on the floor, whether you're down five with 3 minutes to go or what you need to do. And so, you know, for us, it's a constant everyday process of getting better and understanding the little minute details of our offense and what we need to do from a defensive standpoint. But what I like about our team too is that we're true competitors. Our guys really fight. They compete. They play hard. They give me everything that they have every single day. And that's all that I can ask for. Now, you know, what we obviously want to see are the results and good ones.
What is the emphasis? I mean, obviously you want to score going into the season. You want to bring up your percentages. But the one thing that I remember last year, and I was going through the stats just to kind of refresh myself, opponent's scoring percentages, field goal percentage was well up over 45, 46% or something like that. Is this that year where sudden defense becomes prevalent?
You know, defense, we talk to our team about traveling with you everywhere you go, from home to road games, and that is prevalent. That's something that we talk about every single day and being our, you know, the thing that we hang our hat on. And obviously, we do want to score. We do want to, you know, be in a situation where we can try to outscore our opponents, but we know on a nightly basis we have to really defend and try to limit our opponents, you know, put our opponents in a bad predicament from a shooting percentage standpoint.
I know you guys have another one coming up, an exhibition game against Wisconsin Lutheran, but I want to go back to the Marquette game. A really neat game, a fundraiser game. It was more of a relaxed atmosphere, but intense basketball. What did you walk away with a game in which you take a loss by five over at the Owl, but I thought overall your team played pretty well?
You know, first of all, you know, thanks to Marquette and to both of our administrators for putting that together, allowing us to do that for a great cause. And, you know, I think our guys handle it really well. But what I took out of it is just like you said, I think our guys acquitted themselves pretty well. You know, they played hard. You know, the one thing that I learned is we turned the ball over way too much in that game. You know, we had 21 turnovers and we looked at it and most of it was caused by us and our ability to just take care of the basketball. So that was something that we've addressed and really work on every single day. You know, the other thing I take out of is the 16 assists that we had in the game. You know, if you cut the turnovers in half and say you only have, you know, 10 or 11 turnovers, you're probably looking at a 20-plus assist game, which you're probably going to win a lot of those games. you know, where you're sharing the ball like that. So I was impressed with how hard our guys played, and then with that being the first opportunity with me under the lights and new system, all that stuff, you know, we got some great material out of it.
Talking with Pat Baldwin, UW-Milwaukee men's basketball coach. Now you got coming up on November 10th, it's the Black and Gold Shootout down at the UWM Panther Arena. You're going to have UW lacrosse coming into town, which I think is great. I love to see interstate basketball. I love because the WIAA or the WIAC system, I mean, everything is so good about it. And to be able to see you guys kind of cross-reference into some of the – because even UW for a long time played many of those schools all throughout the state. Bo Ryan believed in it, really wanted to institute it in playing a lot of those schools. You guys are doing the same. So I it's a feel-good moment down at the UW-Panther Arena to see UW lacrosse come into the Panther Arena.
Yeah, and we're excited about, you know, the opening there. And, you know, for us, we don't take any game lightly. We're certainly not taking that game lightly. We're actually watching a ton of film on, you know, on them and even other opponents as we speak. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for, you know, our fans to see us for – almost the first time in Panther, well, it is the first time in Panther Arena. And, you know, we are preparing for them like it's another opponent in our league. You know, we're really trying to cover every single base from offense and defense and special teams and all those little things. And, but it's, like you said, I think it is good that we get the Wisconsin, you know, teams in here.
I know that sets you up for that November 13th, only 3 days after that. You got to go to Ames, Iowa. That's never a pleasant place to play. But you're playing a team in Iowa State, and they're a team that has been an NCAA appearance numerous times in the tournament. And so you get some good exposure there. You find out a good test early on in the season, not to mention some good learning moments. And if you can steal a win, you go in and you get something, and you've got something to build on the rest of the season. If not, it's always a great teaching tool, as then you head into Wisconsin and Northern Illinois and all of that after the fact.
Yeah, you know – it doesn't get any easier, you know, playing a team like that. And Iowa State's very well, you know, run program, and Prom does a really, you know, really good job with them. They've been to the NCAA tournament and all of that. And, you know, it's important for us with a game like that to, you know, to see where we're really at and to come in and fight. And we're going to play hard. And I keep telling our guys, as long as we play hard and we don't shoot ourselves in the foot with turnovers and just bad and poor play, you know, anything can happen in a basketball game. So, you know, our early schedule is certainly not easy at all. So, you know, the biggest thing that we can do is prepare and really fighting all of those games.
Brock Stahl, Brett Prowell, you've got August Haas. You've got some of these guys that are back, that some of these guys are going to get minutes. You've got your rotation kind of set. Is this just a matter now of kind of fine-tuning things for you from what you've had last year to this year, or is this something where it's just kind of all up for grabs and you're trying to get a sense as to where you're at?
It's up for grabs right now. You know, every single day for us in practice, we're competing. And I've told our guys that no one has a starting spot at this point, and it's lent itself to some very tough practices and hard practices, and that the practices have been extremely competitive, and, you know, we've had to break up some things, not that our guys are hating each other, but that's just what happens when you compete. So that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted with our practices, but also, you know, no one has really established themselves as the clear-cut, you know, favorites as far as starting and minutes and all of that. That has to still be earned.
Coach, looking forward to the season. We want to have you back on later on down the road. But best of luck to you, man, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it so much. There you go. Pat Baldwin, head coach at UWM for the Panther basketball program. And they've got a tough road to go, but, boy, they jump right into it with going to Ames, Iowa, and Iowa State. And then after that, they have Wisconsin on the docket. They get into some Horizon League play and see what happens as they're trying to turn that program back around. Best of luck to the UWM Panthers. This portion of the program and his appearance was brought to you. He appeared on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, and they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE. or go to SchneiderJobs.com. And we've got more coming up in the Bill Michael Show. After the top of the hour, we're going to get into all kinds of stuff. I want to give you a Bucks and Oklahoma City Thunder preview. Got Marcus Johnson, the Bucks television analyst, coming up here in about 45 minutes. Going to hear from Mike McCarthy later on today. Tiger Woods coming back, by the way, in case you didn't know. That's another piece of news that's out there. Got some baseball to talk about, because you've got Game 6 of the World Series coming up, which has been a really good series. We got into the discussion yesterday about whether or not it's a classic or not. And many people feel that it's not, unless it goes another crazy. And if it goes seven and it continues to go back and forth like this, where just teams keep banging and banging and banging and banging back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and lead changes, then maybe this thing turns into an instant classic. But what a series it's been so far as entertainment goes. So a lot yet to go, including our conversation last night with Trevor Davis, the wide receiver and kick returner at the Horse and Plow Huddle for the Green Bay Packers. He joined us last night, so you're going to hear portions of that. A lot more of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. As always, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for taking a listen. This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic, and there is a lot of crud going around. I mean, I don't even. So many people have come up to me in the last, I don't know, maybe week, and said, "Oh my God, my friend's sick. I'm sick. My sister's sick. My spouse is sick. Kids are sick. Whatever, whatever's going around, and it's getting you twice, not just once, but twice." Seems like you just get over it, you're feeling good, you do a few things, next thing you know, bam, it hits you all over again. It's going around for the second time through the studios here, as a matter of fact. So if you've got something going on and you just don't feel like going to the doctor, do what I did. I'm sitting at home, I'm miserable, I'm like, okay, I can't take it anymore. And I called Marshfield Clinic, 844-CARE-AWAY, 844-CARE-AWAY, care my way. Talked to the nurse practitioner, and she said, oh my goodness, you know, you need this and this and this. And they prescribed it and sent it right to my pharmacy. So I didn't have to go to Marshfield. I did it from the comfort of my home, right to my pharmacy, went over, picked it up, and within a couple of days, feeling a lot better. So it just saves you time, saves you money. The maximum charge is $40. That's it. I was watching last night, somebody on Facebook had put $100 for a copay for an office visit, and then whatever their insurance was, you know, $50 per prescription, and then plus the office visit and driving there and this and that. And I just texted him. I said, or instant message him on Facebook. I said, why don't you just call 844-CARE-AWAY? Try it out next time. And she said, next time I'm going to do that, because if it's only $40 to kind of get analyzed, so to speak, and they can get you an antibiotic or something right over the phone, do that. Save yourself some time. That's 844-CARE-AWAY for the Marshfield Clinic. And they do. What was that? What was it? There you go. I thought somebody walked in and started talking to us. There you have it. Call 844-CARE-AWAY. That's 844-CARE-AWAY. Marshfield Clinic, the official health care provider of the Bill Michaels Show. And yours truly. A couple of different stats here. Going back to our conversation with Pat Baldwin, the UWM men's basketball coach. And I was right. 46.5% opponents shot against them last year. 46.5%. Well, they only shot 44% last year. So defensively speaking, they're going to have to shore that up. Teams also shot 35% against them from beyond the arc. But one of the things that they did have last year was they ended up with more turnovers, defensive turnovers last year. So turnovers per game, they were averaging offensively turning the ball over a little bit more than their opponent. But defensively speaking, they were at least getting a few more steals. But still, they're going to have to defend it up. If this team's going to get a shot at winning a lot of ball games, they're going to have to really defend it up. And then one other stat I wanted to bring you, in case you did not know, any home run hit between now and the end of the World Series just adds to the record. Did you know that this World Series has set a record with 22 home runs already hit in it? The record was 21, and there's still possibly two more games to play in this one. And the ball has been flying out of the park, and they're back in L.A. where it's a little bit warmer. So, and they have that short porch, the short fence down the lines. So you've already had a record number of home runs and strikeouts, by the way, in this World Series. It's been a phenomenal series to watch. It's been entertaining. I don't know about classic, but it's certainly been entertaining. But that is your AppRoyo stats of the day. Make it simple for companies just like yours to implement SAP and big data solutions. You can revolutionize your data and ignite your future with AppRoyo. Check them out on the web, APPROYO.com, APPROYO.com. That is AppRoyo, where they bring you the stat of the day, and we try to give you something, maybe something you haven't known, or maybe something you can learn each and every day via our friends at AppRoyo. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to do some Bucks and Oklahoma City Thunder preview. Get you ready for tonight's game. Also, Marcus Johnson, the Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, is going to be here. We're going to hear from Mike McCarthy coming up a little bit later on. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, by the way, has said that he wants to come back, and he thinks he's ready to play golf yet again. So we'll get into that discussion a little bit later on the program as well. But really, the stories have been the NFL, whether it's some of the trades that have gone down, or by the way, Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott, the courts have now come out and denied him his stay, so to speak, of, you know, not being suspended. The one thing everybody was asking me last night, well, what does this mean? Does he get suspended, and does he start serving a suspension immediately? Most likely, they're going to continue the legal. This is no longer about what he did or didn't do. This is about the process. This is now about the NFL and their attorneys going up against the Players Association and their attorneys and trying to figure all this out, because what the Players Association is trying to do is win this court case, so then it forces the NFL to look at things via arbitration a little bit differently, and they want to pound their chest and pontificate about how great they are, and they're not going to win this one either. And here's the problem, because what the NFL did was brilliant in the last collective bargaining agreement. They threw a bunch of money at them up front and said, you guys want this? And they said, oh, yeah, give me. And then realized that the deal sucked, and they still never got rid of the power that they wanted to take away from the commissioner, because he wasn't going to give it up. And now they're sitting there with their hands in their pockets going, well, you guys are making more money than us, and we don't have any power, and we got screwed. Well, you got screwed because of your own damn fault, because you got greedy. That's what it is, because you give a damn about yourself today, not the players that are going to be coming 3 years, 4 years down the road from now. So we'll talk more about that coming up later on, too. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.